Just to remind you about New Year's Eve, we are gathering here for a meeting, a service, which starts at 11, so all are welcome. You're also welcome to come an hour earlier if you would like to have some soup. And Keith is selling tickets. They started at £1. The nearer it gets to the event, they're going up. So please, see Keith. Yes, sorry. They are voluntary suggested donations, I think. Yes. But it would help us so that we can know just how much catering to provide. So see Keith at the end. Let's stand. We're going to continue in worship. We don't have a sermon as such this morning. There's one or two things I just want to share. But we have some video testimonies we want to show. And then we're going to be praying for people for healing. We've had many testimonies over these last, actually just these last few months, many testimonies. And we believe God's going to give us some more. But now let's home in again on Jesus. Let's worship together, give him the glory, and see what he wants to do among us. That one.
Father, every breath I've got, you have given it to me.
Confidence, isn't it? You are my only prayer. I'm going to wait because you are going to come and rescue me. That is the confidence in which we stand this morning. That God is for us. God is for us. God is on our side and He's reaching out to us day by day. So as we sing this, I want you to just offer to God the issue that you need Him to come and rescue you from. It may be health, it may be other circumstances, whatever it is. But let your heart, just pour out your heart to your loving Heavenly Father this morning as we sing this. Because He is the one who comes and rescues. He is the one who saves. He is the one who can come and change circumstances and calm the storms of our lives. Let this be the cry of our hearts this morning. How I need you, Lord. You're my only hope. Richard, I wonder if we could have those words up again. Please just take a seat, please. And let us consider what we are singing there, because this says something about who we are as a community of faith as we look into the coming year. There we are. I'll get it to work. I wish I knew what I was doing with these telephones. But, you know, when we look at those words, this is an incredible statement of confidence and faith on behalf of the people of God. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, do I actually agree with what I'm singing? We sing the words. Week by week, we can sing the words, but the issue is, are they an expression of our heart or something simply we're singing along to because everyone else is? But those words there express our confidence in who God is and his ability to come and break into our lives. That's it. Whether it be in healing, provision, or so forth. Actually, you could go and sit down now. Yeah, we'll have you back later on. Confidence in the revelation of Jesus through the scriptures is rewarded by confidence in working out those scriptures in our everyday lives. So we are not people who simply read of things that happened 2,000 years ago and think, aren't they nice? We are people who live in the very reality of Jesus at work in the world today. A survey has produced some incredible results. And I just want to read you two of the results from the survey that appeared on the internet not very long ago. And it's a survey of clergy and so-called lay people in growing churches compared with those in declining churches. Now just listen to this. ...93% of clergy and 83% of worshippers from growing churches agreed with the statement, right? Agreed with this statement, Jesus rose from the dead with a real flesh and blood body, leaving behind an empty tomb. Do we believe that? Good. We're part of the 93. In fact, I would like to think in this church we're part of the 100%. Because if we find out who the other 7% are, we need to be praying over them. So 93% and 83% of worshippers believe Jesus rose from the dead with real flesh and blood, body leaving behind an empty tomb. And that for us is basically what we're celebrating here. We are not celebrating a Jesus who died in the tomb and was left there. We're celebrating a Jesus who died, was buried, but who raised again to newness of life for us. You know, that's the real Christmas message. Without the Easter events, we would never have even thought of Christmas. Just wouldn't have happened. It would have been lost. In declining churches, now this is sad. In declining churches, 67% of worshippers and 56% of clergy believe in that statement. So just over half church leaders in declining churches would agree that Jesus was raised from the dead. That needs our prayer. You know, if there is to be a revival in this country, it begins with the people of God believing what God said. And we need to be praying into that. Then it goes on. And this is the one I really want to home in on today, because we're going to hear testimonies of how God has broken into people's lives, how God has performed miracles in people's lives, and we celebrate those miracles. But this is what the survey found. 100% of clergy and 90% of worshippers in growing churches agreed with the statement, God performs miracles in answer to prayers. Amen. God performs miracles. And many people here, you have seen the hand of God at work in your circumstances through provision, through healing, through a change of circumstances. We believe that God performs miracles. So you were with that 100% of clergy and 90% of worshippers. In declining churches, 80% of worshippers believe God answers prayer and answers in miracles, but only 44% of clergy in declining churches believe that God answers prayer and will perform miracles. 44%. And we wonder what's wrong with the country. Every church has a tradition. You know, we sometimes think we don't have our traditions. But we do. And I've said this before. All you need to do to prove that we have traditions is to move the chairs around. It is, honestly. You know, we have people not far from the front here. And I don't name anyone, Anne. I don't want to name anyone. And this is not being recorded to go out to the world. But, you know, we say we don't have our traditions. But we do. And one tradition that we always need to stick to is that we want to walk in the tradition established by Scripture and that early community of God's people. That's the tradition we have to hold to. Now, in the light of that survey, just listen to this from Acts. Where else? This was the believers' prayer after Peter and John had been released. Right? So the people of God rise and say, Lord, consider the threats, that's of the authorities, and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Right? We would agree with that. And then the people of God go on to say something else which is so relevant to us today. Right? Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. That's the tradition in which we stand. We believe that in answer to our prayer, God responds. Yeah. Well, I get quite excited about that. I get more excited about that than presents on Christmas. Now, some would say that's not difficult. Some would say. I mean, my Christmas has already been ruined because Sandra left out on the bed an unwrapped present. Yes. So I'm really looking forward to getting those 6 pairs of socks. I am. I think on Christmas Eve, I'm just going to be lying there so overwhelmed by excitement. I won't be able to contain myself. Now, that is a secret, because Sandra's just outside on one of the rotors. So don't tell her I've said that. I don't want Sandra's surprise for me to be ruined altogether. But we need to be those who grasp the tradition of Scripture that says there is a people of God crying out to God, "You are our only hope, God. You are the one we're looking to. We need you to come and rescue us." And God does it. Why were they praying that God would heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders? Because they believed God would do it. And their tradition said he did. What do we read in Exodus? We read in Exodus, God heard the cry of his people. God heard the cry of his people. And he brought salvation through miraculous deliverance. So this morning we are going to hear some testimonies. And these are testimonies to the healing power of God at work in our community. And we thank God for those testimonies, but they need to provoke us to reach into God for more. These are not the finished story, because God always has more. And if you are here this morning and you need that touch of God in your life, if you need that touch of God for healing, for provision, I want you to be encouraged by these testimonies, because we are going to gather with you to pray at the end of this meeting for God to come and do a miracle in your situation. So Richard, if we could have the first of the testimonies, please. Yes, please. Give them, every person on here, I think is here this morning, everyone who appeared. Let's just thank God for that. They will give autographs at the end of the meeting, but it is just so exciting. But that's not all. We have another testimony today. So if we can roll the second testimony, please. And we have Tony and Claire with us this morning. So tremendous to have them. I did like that one phrase that Tony couldn't risk coming to church. If only it were true. People wouldn't dare risk. That's the early churches that they said they didn't dare go among them, but the church grew. Think, how did that happen then? But God answers prayer. The common theme through every testimony is that prayer was offered and God answered. And that's what we are going to move into in a moment. The important thing is that we look to Jesus as we pray. No one here is able to heal anyone else. We stand in the name of Jesus and we will proclaim the promises that he's made available to us. So the five testimonies that we have heard are simply five out of many that are here among us. We have seen incredible miracles of accelerated healing. Brian is with us this morning. Give us a wave, Brian. Lovely to see you again. I know Brian shared, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. We've seen Becca, where there's been an amazing move of God in her, and others. But what I want us to do, as we do pray, I want us not just to be praying for healing, but I want you to be praying for the thing that is uppermost in your situation. And it might be a breakthrough in your work situation. It might be a breakthrough in your financial situation. It might be a breakthrough, something to do with your family. Whatever it is, we want to lay hold of God this morning for answers to prayer. And I am going to invite the people who want prayer in a moment to stand, and I want people to gather around them. But there is a condition. There is a condition. If you go and pray with someone, I would like you to actually verbalize the prayers so that the person being prayed for knows what you're praying and can say the amen with you. If you don't feel able to verbalize that prayer, to pray for that person so they can hear what you're saying, could I ask you just to stay where you are and pray quietly, because you're going to be praying quietly anyway. You see, we need to be those who encourage one another. And I believe that as we hear our brother or sister praying for us, then we are greatly encouraged and we can agree with that prayer together and pray into the issue. So can, what we're going to do? How many people would like prayer for a something this morning? Now you just put your hands down. How many prayer don't need, how many people don't need prayer? We just need to say we've got enough. Glory. Can you stand now? If you put your hand up, can you stand? Well, you sit there, Muriel. We don't want another accident. We've cancelled the ambulance once. We don't want to do it twice. Richard, just come and share very quickly. Just as you stand there, I want you to listen to Richard's testimony regarding healing.
For those of you who don't know, just a very quick recap. 23 years ago, I was diagnosed with macular degeneration in the left eye, which meant I had a shadow in my vision. So if I closed my right eye, I couldn't see very much at all. The peripheral vision and the right eye being good compensated. Earlier this year, August time, I was at the hospital. They told me it got worse and I shouldn't drive until I seen them again on the 12th of September, which was a bit of a bombshell. So that was on the Saturday. The following day on the Sunday, I mentioned it to Alan and got a number of people around me and had a lot of prayer. On the Monday, I was at the optician's. And on the Wednesday, I went back to collect some new glasses. By the time I got there on the Wednesday, I said to the optician, look, I'm concerned things have changed in my eye. That doesn't happen, he said. I said, well, I want to do an eye test. So I went into his little room and sat in the chair and looked at the chart on the board. And normally, when I close my right eye, the chart would kind of disappear. I wouldn't see the wall, never mind the chart. I was able to read the top three letters. He went out to the surgery or out to his room, came back with my new glasses, sat down and went, you've had a miracle. That's what you've had. What's happened? So I told him we got prayed for on the Sunday. Well, he said, you've had a miracle. He said, you don't understand the magnitude of what's taken place. If you had a broken back and you came in and you suddenly said, I can walk again, that's what's taking place in your eye. I've done this job 30 years. This does not happen. Come back from India, went to the hospital on the 12th of September. Had some tests and had to take some photographs behind the eye. And they put me in front of a chart to read again, and you have to close your one eye and read it, and the right eye was okay. And I started to read with the left eye, and I read 12 letters on this chart. And the woman said, the nurse said, what's happened? Oh, I said, I got prayed for several weeks ago in church in the name of Jesus, and it's improving. I said, I know it's not sharp, the letters are not crystal clear, but there's a marked improvement. Okay, she said. So I went to see the consultant, and he said, so what treatment have you been on? I said, well, the only treatment I've had is I got prayed for in the name of Jesus Christ. And this guy was a Syrian. I don't know whether he was Muslim or what. And he went, whatever. And that was his only response. Now, the other, I've been concerned because night driving has always been a challenge. So the other week on a Tuesday night, I got prayed for again. And that night going home, I was aware that where the edge of the road would kind of, you have to really concentrate by night. Suddenly it was sharper. Now, as I close my right eye, I can cross a road with just one eye these days, which is kind of interesting. It's not there yet. It's not perfect, but the progress from something that shouldn't happen is actually remarkable. And praise God for the faithfulness of people in this church that have prayed and the faithfulness of Jesus who's at work in my life, especially in my left eye. So it means that God Almighty can invade your eye. It's just awesome. Praise God.
Excellent. Thank you, Richard. You just stay there. Right. Now, what I would like is, if you want prayer, I would like you to either come round the front or fill up the aisle. There are three aisles, and we're doing this because we need plenty of room. Just come and find a space along the front here. Then you may have to form a queue up the aisles. Now, I'm going to invite all those who would like to pray to come and stand with these brothers and sisters. I'd like one person at least with each of these brothers and sisters who want prayer. You're going to have to form, I think we're going to have to form a queue up that aisle there up here. Just find space. Come on, folks. This is, we're all involved in this together. I'm not talking about ministry team now. I'm going to open this up. If you have faith and you are ready to pray for a brother or sister right now, I want you to come. I want you to stand with them. Just lay your hands on their shoulders so they know who you are. And I want you to call upon the God of all provision to bring incredible blessing. We need some more people to come and pray. Come along. We need some more people. Fight your way through. We need someone to come down here and pray with Raymond. Come along, my man. Are you going to pray here? Good. Excellent. Come on, folks. Now then, I've asked for people who are prepared to open their mouths to come and pray. So now is the time to open your mouth. Does everyone here have someone with them? Is there anyone who hasn't got anyone to pray with them? Richard? We've got some over here. Come on, folks. Come along. Everybody got someone now? Come on. Just lay hold of it. Just pray out to God. Pray for the blessings of God to come and to work miracles in the lives of these individuals. Do we need someone down here? Right. I need two people to pray over here. Then if Christine, if you can come forward.
I don't know where Richard is. Is Richard praying?
He's praying for someone.
He's praying. Well, a while ago, he had a word that someone had a fear of the dark and they were walking down a path to a main road. And I thought, that's me, because near my house there's a little path that leads to the 167 that I walk down. And I hadn't realised how bad my fear of the dark was getting. And I walked down that path in absolute fear. And when I'm at home, I'm often last to bed, and I just walk up to bed in fear. I try not to turn any lights out. And I just hadn't realised how bad it was. And compared to so many other issues in my life, it was so minor as well. But this is what God does. God kind of heals things that you don't even think about sometimes. And so I came and had prayer. And I realised last week I was walking down that path and I was feeling all warm and cozy and safe. I stood in my house downstairs and turned all the lights off and I just felt all safe and cozy. And that fear has just completely gone.
Excellent. Thank you. Very excellent.
I haven't told Richard.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you'll find out. Right.
Recently, the Lord's been showing me that we've had a spate of very, very serious illnesses among people in the church and very, very serious accidents. And, you know, I was praying about it and I felt the Lord saying that as a church, we are pushing forward and we've got an enemy who is against us. So I'd like to pray a prayer of protection over us, because we don't want to stop moving forward because the enemy's against us. We want to keep on pushing forward. And I was thinking about it, and I got a picture of the Roman army, and they were very, very successful because they knew how to use their shields. They had shields, but they didn't just protect themselves. They were in formation and they held their shields so that the ones on the outside held them to protect the outside and the ones in the middle held them above their heads so that no darts of the enemy could get through. And I feel that that is a word for us today. It takes unity to do that, but we have unity in Christ. And we need to be aware of each other. We're not just protecting ourselves with our shields. We need to be protecting each other with our shields. So I want to pray a prayer of protection over us. Father, I just thank you that we are your children and we are in your hands. And I just pray, Lord, that you will protect each one of us. But that, Lord, we will also do our bit, because you've given us armour. You've given us a shield of faith. And I pray that we will use that shield effectively to not only protect ourselves, but to protect each other as we pray for one another and as we walk together in unity. Amen. The other thing is that another powerful spiritual weapon that I'm only just really discovering, and I think in general the church has forgotten, is about speaking blessings. Now, the priests in the Old Testament, one of their roles was to speak blessings over the people. And we are a royal priesthood, and we have the authority to speak blessings over ourselves and over each other. And it's very, very powerful. And it's not, we're not praying for blessings, we are speaking the blessings. The blessings are ours already in God. And by speaking them over each other and over ourselves, we are drawing down those blessings that are already ours in God. We're drawing them into reality here on earth. So I want to speak blessings, and I'm including myself in this. And it's for everybody who is connected to Emmanuel. So the meeting in Chesler Street, anybody who is not here today, this is being done in the spirit, so they are included in these blessings, because God will do it in the spirit. So, in the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over all who are connected with Emmanuel Church. I bless the elders and their leadership of the church. I bless Emmanuel Church with unity, grace, and love for one another. I bless each marriage to be strong in the Lord and full of love, forgiveness, and joy. I bless all the families with peace, understanding, and love. I bless everyone to have a network of wholesome and supportive friendships so that no one will feel lonely or unloved. I bless your health, that you may be strong and well. And in Jesus' name, I resist all sickness, disease, and trauma. I bless your finances, that you will have plenty to live on and enough to give. Thank you. I bless our hearts, that we will be softened towards God and quickened to hear his voice. I bless Emmanuel Church, that we will see more of the Holy Spirit's power and the word of God flowing through us. And I bless us to fulfill all of God's purposes for our lives, both as individuals and as a body. Thank you.
Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Christine. And let's close as we celebrate the goodness of God. This morning is about a loving Heavenly Father who loves to respond to the cry of his children. We need to celebrate that as his community.